वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Okay, let's have a look here. Okay. Let's read. All right. Let's read from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8. Dhruva Maharaj leaves home, and we'll begin with text 72. Is that okay? And just sort of. Read a few verses. Tri ratrante, kapita badarasana, atmavrit yanusarena, masam ninyer chayan harin. Translation. For the first month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only fruits and berries on every third day, only to keep his body and soul together. And in this way he progressed in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kapita is a flower which is known in Indian vernacular as Kayeta. We do not find an English equivalent for the name of this flower, but its fruit is generally not accepted by human beings. It is eaten by monkeys in the forest. Dhruva Maharaj, however, accepted such fruits, not for luxurious feasting, but just to keep his body and soul together. The body needs food, but a devotee should not accept foodstuff to satisfy the tongue in sense gratification. It is recommended in Bhagavad Gita that one should accept as much food as necessary to keep the body fit, but one should not eat for luxury. Dhruva Maharaj is an acharya, and by undergoing severe austerities and penances, he teaches us how one should execute devotional service. We must carefully know the process of Dhruva Maharaj's service. How severely he passed his days will be shown in later verses. We should always remember that to become a bona fide devotee of the Lord is not an easy task. But in this age, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it has been made very easy. But if we do not follow even the liberal instructions of Lord Chaitanya, how can we expect to discharge our regular duties in devotional service? It is not possible in this age to follow Dhruva Maharaj in his austerity, but the principles must be followed. We should not disregard the regulative principles given by our spiritual master, for they make it easier for the conditioned soul. As far as our ISKCON movement is concerned, we simply ask that one observe the four prohibitive rules, chant 16 rounds, and instead of indulging in luxurious eating for the tongue, simply accept prasad offered to the Lord. This does not mean that with our fasting the Lord should also fast. The Lord should be given foodstuff which is as nice as possible, but we should not make it a point to satisfy our own tongues. As far as possible, we should accept simple foodstuff just to keep the body and soul together to execute devotional service. It is our duty to remember always that in comparison to Dhruva Maharaj, we are insignificant. We cannot do anything like what Dhruva Maharaj did for self-realization, because we are absolutely incompetent to execute such service. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we have been given all concessions possible for this age, So at least we should always remember that neglect of our prescribed duties and devotional service will not make us successful in the mission we've undertaken. It is our duty to follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, for he was very determined. We should also be determined to finish our duties in executing devotional service in this life. We should not wait for another life to finish our job. Tri Ratrante, Tri Ratrante, Kapita Badarashana, Atma Vrit Yanusarena, Masam Ninyer Chayan Harim. For the first month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only fruits and berries on every third day, only to keep his body and soul together. And in this way he progressed in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastachyade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vanchakamatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, I assume that everyone understands the background to this verse. Dhruva Maharaj, his story and what happened to him and how he came to this point. You're all familiar with that. Yeah. He wanted a kingdom bigger than his father's, and his mother told him. And he asked his mother, how can I get that? She said, well, only by the grace of God. And he said, okay, where do I find God? And she was not like a very sort of spiritually developed person. I mean, not knowledgeable at least. So she didn't really know how to answer. So she said, well, I've heard that when people want to find God, they go to the forest, and off he went. And it's a bit of a long story, but here, having met Narada Muni, Narada Muni has given him some instructions in regard to, which include this particular aspect of how extremely austere he was. Basically, Narada Muni gave him instructions in Ashtanga Yoga, which is, well, to a large extent, not completely, but to a large extent, a physical type of process of different exercises and disciplines. And told him, yeah, you do this and you should get the mercy of the Lord. But Narada Muni, being a very advanced devotee and an extremely advanced preacher devotee, he included at least one element which was not related to the Ashtanga Yoga, but was purely part of devotional service, which would, but Dhruva didn't understand that. He thought it was just part of the process of this discipline, very strong, disciplined process that was going to help him. But actually it was Narada Muni, being a very clever preacher, introducing something which would help him in Krishna consciousness and to develop as a devotee, to become a devotee and advance as a devotee. But in the guise of it just being part of that program of Ashtanga Yoga, which was like the main thing in terms of content, it was the great majority of what he told Dhruva to do was just Ashtanga Yoga in different ways. So that particular activity, which was part of devotional service, was to chant the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he told them, you just chant it a lot. And it's part of the program of Ashtanga Yoga. So Dhruva Maharaj was doing that. He was doing all these Ashtanga Yoga things, plus chanting this mantra. And it was becoming more powerful through the Ashtanga Yoga, in the sense of, like, physically, psychologically, he was becoming more and more powerful, and he became extremely powerful. But also he was developing as a devotee, developing the mood of a devotee. So here in this verse and the following, there's a sequence of verses coming up, which we'll continue with tomorrow. It's describing his austerities in Ashtanga Yoga. And as you can see, this is just the beginning, eating fruits and berries on every third day. And these were not nice fruits and berries bought from, what's the name of the supermarket? Is it Iki or?
Jumbo.
Jumbo, okay. Bought from Jumbo, imported from somewhere, and some exotic Spanish fruit or American fruit. This is just what happened to be there. And even maybe just what happened to fall right where he was. And then it was only every 3 days. And if you think, and the verse says, only to keep his body and soul together. I don't know if it would be enough to keep the body and soul together for long, for us, really. But then it becomes more austere, and we'll read that tomorrow, to the point where it's just, I mean, this is already extremely austere, to say the least, but it becomes like totally superhuman as he goes on. And the verse says that nas masam ninye archayan harin. In this way he progressed in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not mentioned here specifically. Prabhupada sort of alludes to it, but really his progress in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead was not happening like strictly, simply on the basis that instead of eating regularly, that he was now eating in a very austere way. But the progress in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that was happening on the basis of his chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And the fasting, this very extreme fasting, was helping in the sense that he was just not thinking at all about that subject, but rather his full attention was completely given to particularly Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In this way he was progressing. Otherwise, just to not eat in and of itself without any actual activities specifically which please the Lord, just to be austere and sort of hard, very strict when it comes to physical things does not exactly engender or produce Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, well, I don't know if you're aware, but carnivorous animals like lions, they usually only eat every few days because they got to kill, you know, chase and kill and all that. But so therefore, you know, it's not like they're just eating by their standards luxuriously every day at all. If it was just a matter of eating fruits and berries, that is the specialty of the monkeys, apparently. And we don't see it making any monkeys very Krishna conscious. Yeah. So these things, and Prabhupada alludes to it in the purport, like following our four regulative principles, not doing certain things which are like very standard material things for materialistic people, does not exactly make, like, produce Krishna consciousness. But as Prabhupada says here, we should not disregard the regulative principles given by our spiritual master, for they make it easier for the conditioned soul. If we do those four things, or even just one of those, like intoxication or whatever it may be, if we actually do any of those activities, then they have such an effect on us physically and on our thinking processes and our emotions and just our whole material being. They have such negative effects that it makes it much more difficult to cultivate actual Krishna consciousness, to remember Krishna, and to chant nicely, and so on like that. Rather, we'll find they have polluting effects in a number of ways, including subtly. And subtly, if one engages in those activities, one will find that one may not understand how it's happening, but it is happening, that one is losing interest in Krishna and rather becoming more interested in material things. Simply by engaging even in one, what to speak of all four of those activities which our regulative principles address. Otherwise, just being vegetarian, just not taking intoxication, just not gambling, at least say those three, even the monkeys, they don't do those things. Illicit sex life is another thing, but at least those three things, so many animals never do any of those things. Take intoxication, you know, there's no question of it. It just isn't part of their whole sort of culture as animals. But they're not becoming Krishna conscious. So the point is that by Prabhupada in the purport, for us, he's not advocating that we actually do exactly what Dhruva Maharaj is doing. Even in, this is just, he's just getting started. He hasn't really got serious about it yet, that we can read about tomorrow. And it's just in another dimension of austerity altogether. But as Prabhupada's applying it for ourselves, that we, in order to actually progress in meaningful ways, so that we actually do advance, and in that way, by advancing, We feel the change, significant changes in our lives and ourselves, in order for the process of Krishna consciousness to work in ways which will be really noticeable, effective, and we'll see that it is clearly working, then we have to follow the process. And this is the process. Here, Prabhupada says, as far as our ISKCON movement is concerned, we simply ask that one observe the four prohibitive rules, chant 16 rounds, and instead of indulging in luxurious eating for the tongue, simply accept prasad offered to the Lord. Yeah. This is, you know, these are some of the most important and basic elements in the process of Krishna consciousness. Of course, we should also get some regular service to do. We should study the books. We should associate with the devotees, attend the programs, and avoid not only follow the four regulative principles, but avoid bad association of like sinful materialistic people who may possibly influence us and possibly corrupt us, and so on and so forth. But if we do like this, then we'll be able to progress in devotional service, and we'll be able to develop a taste for Krishna consciousness, beginning particularly with hearing and chanting about Krishna, but we'll develop a taste for all the different aspects of Krishna conscious life and different types of Krishna conscious activities. And we should really try and do that very seriously. We should always remember that to become a bona fide devotee of the Lord is not an easy task. Although Bhakti Prabhupada goes on to say, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it's been made very easy. You know, you may remember, you may have read in Prabhupada Lilamrita, how Mukunda Maharaj, way back in the very, very beginning days, was discussing with Srila Prabhupada about our chanting. Prabhupada had instructed that we must chant 64 rounds a day. And initially, the devotees, some very, very small number of devotees, they agreed, okay. But then they found it was very difficult. Very, very quickly they found that it was very difficult for them. So Mukunda Maharaj went to Srila Prabhupada on their behalf, as like the representative of the group. And he explained that to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, not that he was particularly happy about it, but he said, all right, 32. And then Mukunda Maharaj said that, well, you know, I think that's going to be too much also. And Prabhupada said that, all right then, 16, but no less. So at least ourselves, as people who are trying to be practitioners in the real sense, actually devotees really trying to cultivate devotional service properly, then we should understand that in order to do that, well, we read what Prabhupada said, we do actually need to follow the four regulative principles, and not just three of them and not just two of them, but we actually need to follow the regulative principles. And we actually need to chant 16 rounds a day, and as much as possible, do the other things like have some regular service, read the books associated with the devotees, etc. And then we will make progress, particularly if we really try to chant without offenses and really try to do our best in all these things, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then we'll see, we will make progress, and that's very enlightening and encouraging when you see that some progress is actually there. Otherwise, there's a tendency, if we, for example, just somehow find a sort of partially Krishna-conscious comfort zone where we do some chanting and some other things, but not too much. And, you know, our standards are not really as Prabhupada wanted, and so on, then we find we get into a mixed position, mixed material and spiritual. And it may appear to be like a comfort zone for a while, and things may seem to be okay, and we may think that this is good enough. But the problem is that when we mix our Krishna consciousness with Maya, even sometimes devotees may be able to go on for some time doing that, and things may appear to be good enough or acceptable in Krishna consciousness, but because the material influence is there, and one is not trying to avoid it, then sooner or later things become corrupted. And then some situation will arise and one goes down in Krishna consciousness, because the material energy is kind of relentless, really, in pushing at us and trying to get us to compromise and just go fall backwards. So Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhupada says, it's our duty to follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, for he was very determined. We should also be determined not to just eat a few fruits and berries every 3 days and, you know, let's just wait and see tomorrow what other things he takes up as time goes on a little, but at least to execute the process of devotional service as Srila Prabhupada has given us, as Lord Chaitanya has given us, with the emphasis on hearing and chanting, and also the emphasis on maintaining our following of the regulative principles. If we do like this, then we can make progress and it will be very nice. Otherwise, from time to time, there will be some challenges. And sometimes those challenges, sometimes they can really be very unpleasant. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question from you, intelligent worship devotees?
Yes, one question.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is an intelligent question. So we see that Narada Muni instructed Dhruva Maharaj in two things. One is the 12 points of Ashtanga Yoga, and the other one in devotional service itself, chanting of the mantra.
Right.
If chanting of the mantra is sufficient in itself, then is there any specific reason why he also instructed the Ashtanga Yoga?
Yeah, definitely. That is. Well, first of all, he actually tried to preach pure devotional service to them. He actually tried. And he told them, don't worry about this kingdom. Basically, this whole idea, which was Dhruva Maharaj's whole idea, I must get a kingdom. Initially, Narada Muni just directly preached to him, don't worry about this, just become Krishna conscious. And Dhruva said that, you know, these are very nice things you're saying, but I am not ready for them. So you please instruct me in such ways to help me get what I want. Or, Dhruva Maharaj told him, otherwise, please go away. Please leave me alone. If you're not going to instruct me like that. You know, Narada Muni told him that, look, you want to find God? Very good. But don't you know, God is everywhere. God is in the palace also, at home. So why don't you just go home and find God in the palace? And here, you know, you just eat a few fruits and berries. Why don't you just go back and have nice, really nice prasadam in the palace, which has been offered to the Lord, and forget about this whole idea of yours. And Dhruva told him that if you can't help me with this, please leave me alone. Please go away. So then Narada Muni, because he's so expert as a presenter of Krishna consciousness, and he is just so expert at understanding the people he's preaching to and what will help them, you know, in very personal terms, in terms of what sort of person this person is. Because he's so expert, Narada Muni managed to, just on the spot, just like that, make up a program which would satisfy Dhruva in terms of his sort of psychophysical condition at that time, means with big material desires, but also introduce Krishna consciousness into it in such ways that would not make Dhruva think that, oh, he's trying to trick me. He was so expert at it in such a way that Dhruva thought, this is part of the process. And I'm just going to get into it as much as the other, you know, like physical disciplines and whatever else was there in that program. So he was chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya very seriously, along with so many other things, but making progress in devotional service. So that's the point. Yeah. And in the end the program was successful because the Lord appeared to Dhruva Maharaj and said, what do you want? The Lord came and touched him on the head with his conch shell. And that was like the last thing which totally brought him to pure Krishna consciousness. So then the Lord said, okay, what do you want? And Dhruva said, I thought what I wanted was a kingdom. But now that I've seen you, I understand that that kingdom was just valueless. I thought it was like a big pile of gems. Now I see it was just like a big pile of broken colored glass, just rubbish to be thrown away. And now I've got you, now I see. That's all I need. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, King. Yeah.